Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I am Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Robert, today?
We're in New York.
We are. We're in Manhattan, the island of Manhattan.
We're in the West Village.
We're in the West Village. We're in a kitchen in the West Village.
We're at our friend's Laurie's house. I'd like to say thank you to Laurie.
We love you, Laurie, so much.
Hi,
you've got
Laurie.
Exceptional taste and your house is out of this world. And you've been very generous letting us stay here for the 4 days we've been in Manhattan.
And today we have a very special guest with us.
The most special guest.
The mostest.
The bigliest special guest we've ever had.
I've been working with this artist for a number of years, and she's since become a very close friend of mine. We talk almost every day of the week on WhatsApp.
Yep.
And I love her son, and I love her very much. And I first met this artist about 15 years ago or something, because I went to a show at a gallery called Bellwether in New York, and it was for an artist called Ellen Altfest. And it was Anne Hardy, but Ellen was at this dinner.
Maureen Paley artist.
Yes, and I met Ellen, and then we went round Armory Art Fair. Mm. I think, were you with me that day?
I might have been.
I think you were, yeah. And then we met Catherine that day and went around the fair with her, with Ellen, and we had such a laugh. And then I discovered her paintings, and you were showing at the time with a different gallery. I think it might have been Team Gallery. And I loved these paintings. They were of supermodels, and they were people like Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss and Lily Cole, and then also models that you don't necessarily recognize immediately, but they were these like drippy, kind of amazing, huge,
very pop,
poppy, colorful paintings. Mm. And at the time, they felt quite strange and quite new and quite like no one was making work that looked like that.
Well, figurative work at the time as well. At that time, it was all very kind of sparse and abstract again and minimal.
And there was something quite hardcore about them and quite progressive.
Punky,
yeah, definitely.
Spunky and punky.
And then I was later with Canada Gallery, who are friends of ours, and they introduced us to her new work, which were these grid paintings. And all different objects, like everyday objects. And
kind of collage effect, but with paint.
Yeah, and we just fell in love with those, and then we ended up showing her.
Yes.
And it brought us to today, to Talk Art. And we would like to welcome our very special guest,
Catherine Bernhardt.
Thank you.
Hi.
How are you today, Catherine?
Good.
So you're sat here in a Pink Panther t-shirt, right?
I think it's Daisy.
Oh, it's Daisy. I just saw the pink bow at the top, and I assumed it was Pink Panther.
It's Daisy.
Cartoon characters have a humongous factor into your artwork, right?
Yeah.
Have you always been inspired by cartoons?
Or like just weird figures like E.T. That was like the first one I painted, E.T.
So that was the first kind of cartoon, like a character that wasn't human that you connected with?
Yeah, E.T. Because I was like obsessed with the movie and stuff.
Was you?
And wasn't that when you were studying in St. Louis?
That was at Art Institute of Chicago. Art Institute of Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
What was you painting before that?
Before E.T.? Nothing. I mean, like things. Yeah. Shoes. Like I always painted shoes since back then. Like pinatas. Like I'd set up still lifes and paint stuff like that.
And you and you and your style back then was very similar to now. Can you see the lineage as being the same, or was you trying to paint more like realistic rather than the style you developed now back then?
Well, it's kind of similar because it was objects, but now it's like objects in a pattern.
Got it.
But it's also different because now I use spray paint and kind of like outline it first. Back then it was just like pure, just like paint with a paintbrush.
Wow. So how did you get into the art world? How did you discover that you wanted, that's what you wanted to do?
Well, I always made art like in my bedroom at home and stuff. Like I was always into art in high school. Like that's all I did. Art and like French and Spanish. That's like what I was into.
Really?
And then...
What, the French, Spanish language?
Yeah.
So can you speak French and Spanish now?
Yeah, a little bit.
The art took over more than the languages. Yeah. Got it.
So there was like portfolio day in St. Louis. Like all these colleges were at WashU. Like doing portfolio day, so I went and I got into the Art Institute of Chicago with my portfolio, so wow. I went there.
Is that something then, or can people still get into art college with portfolios now, do you think? Is it a different time?
I don't know if they do that.
Yeah.
Still, I'm not sure.
It's like cold calling with your art, yeah. So what was you painting when you were in your bedroom and stuff? What were your inspirations?
Like watercolors, like pictures of Portugal, because I was an AFS, like exchange student in Portugal, so I took tons of pictures, and then I was
AFS? What's that?
American Field Service. So I was like an exchange student.
Oh, cool.
So I was in Portugal and I took all these pictures. I've always taken lots of pictures, but I blew them up like huge black and white Xerox, and then I would like paint them and like color them and stuff. And then I would also do just like watercolors of like scenes in Portugal and stuff like that.
Really?
And recently, didn't you go back to Portugal?
Yeah, we went back last summer and I went back to visit. And I went back to that town to see... Well, I knew my host sister wasn't there anymore, and the parents both died, so I knew they weren't there, but
your
we went anyway.
Your host sister?
Yeah, the host sister.
H-O-E. I was like, what? It's not very nice.
Yeah, so we went back to the town, and the house was still there and everything, but it was kind of just, like, shut down, and, like, no one was there, so we just kind of walked around a little bit.
Was there still, could you still see what you took the pictures of?
Yeah, like the church, I mean, yeah, the church is still there and everything is still there.
And also you've got a real fascination with ceramics and tiles, and you've actually made some ceramic works. We were making a toucan with you at the time, and the colour of the background of the toucan bird, this ceramic, was actually this blue, which was quite like a Portuguese tile. And at the time I didn't really understand, and then you suddenly sent me all these pictures from Portugal of like incredible tiles on the walls. And so you've had that kind of influence very early on in your kind of formative years.
Yeah. Azulejos.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Tiles.
Oh, cool. In
Portuguese.
In Portuguese, great. It's a Spanish,
Azulejos.
Portuguese, and French. Great.
And where did you go recently to make ceramics? Because you went, where was it, Guadalajara or somewhere?
Oh, yeah, I was in Guadalajara at Ceramica Suro, which is this, like, amazing, huge factory. And they invite artists to come there, like, a couple at a time. You can go down there and work and, like, make anything you want. And they have people helping you to build stuff if you need help, like, building it. And, like, you can do anything you want, basically.
What did you do?
It's amazing. I made, like, some big, like, tile murals.
Wow.
And then I made, like, a whole dish and, like, kitchenware set that's sold at 45 over 10.
Yeah, here in New York.
In New York and in Dallas. There's, like, a whole set.
What do they look like?
They are like very floral and have lots of toucans and birds and floral on them and stuff.
Oh, wow. And it's like dinnerware, or is it like a centerpiece and stuff? Is it?
Dinnerware.
Yeah.
Dishes,
do you use that
plates.
Yourself at home?
I don't have them yet.
But you will?
Yeah.
We need to get KB her own plates, please.
You're kind of angry about that. You're like, where the fuck is my, my dinnerware?
I need to get my set. so I made that. And then we did all these like huge vases. And I'm supposed to go back there and like do this whole vase project, which I really want to do. Like because they have like a history of vases there at Ceramica Suro. Like his father invented Ceramica Suro, and they've been making like vases since like the 50s or 60s. So there's a whole collection of like all the vases they've ever
met.
These
are like 6 foot vases and stuff.
Yeah, like huge vases. So I'm supposed to go there and they're going to recreate all the vases, and then I'm going to decorate and like create and like paint all the vases and stuff, and then have a show there. So I really want to do that.
This is a great example, but this is why I love Catherine Bernhardt so much. Because I think people, when they think about your work initially, might just think you make paintings on canvas. But to me, you are so much more than that, because you're interested in so many different types of work. Like you love fabric, you love making, you know, t-shirts and...
Well, the grid systems feel like African fabric, don't they? They feel like they have a like that kind of vibe. you've taken from that, and then you've transferred that in your own style, your own voice, with into the painting.
That's the inspiration, like West African fabric.
When did you first see that and realize that that was something for you?
I don't know, a long time ago. But that's how I got the idea from for those paintings.
And wasn't it also because your studio's in Flatbush in Brooklyn, and a lot of the shops around there have all these fabrics on kind of big rolls? And
was there a West African community around near your studio then?
It's more like West Indian, but there's lots of fabric stores.
Wow. There's loads of fabric stores, and you can see all these big rolls of fabric. And when you did your show in Brussels for Xavier Hufkins, you actually made a whole fabric piece in the window of the exhibition, which had Barack Obama's face actually printed on the fabric. It was really brilliant.
It was a huge like tapestry. It was probably like 50 feet long, and it was like all collage and stuff. Yeah, and Obama was in it.
Are you an Obama fan?
Yeah.
So after you left art college, after you got into there with your portfolio, what happened then?
I was in Chicago for like 4 years. I was like doing the advanced painting program there and stuff. Mm-hmm. I lived in Wicker Park. It was like cheap then.
What's Wicker Park like?
It was BG.
Oh, okay, nice.
Before gentrification.
Where are you from? You are from St. Louis.
St. Louis, St.
Louis originally, right. And do you like Chicago? Do you have good feelings?
No, I hate it, actually.
Oh, now? Or did you hate it then?
I hate it the whole time.
Why? Because it's windy.
It's like dark. It's too cold. It's like sucks. I just don't like it.
Do you like the Chicago Imagists? Were they ever an inspiration?
No, not really.
Hey, Chicago. Hey, Chicago Imagists. Anybody from there? Great. Fuck Chicago. So, you left Chicago and...
Oh, the only thing I knew when I was in Chicago was like Impressionism, like Claude Monet, and then like Georgia O'Keeffe.
Did you see the work at the spaces there, the public institutions?
Yeah, the Art Institute there. And there's a really amazing Georgia O'Keeffe painting of clouds above the sky, I think it's called.
Oh, wow.
That is like a really good painting.
Wow.
But I didn't know anything. And my friend Tara showed me a book on Mary Heilman, like I'd never heard of her before.
And I was like,
wow.
Have you met her?
Yeah. I mean, since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's cool, right? You met her, haven't you?
Yeah, she's
done a print with her, haven't you?
Yeah, we made a print with her. Yeah, I love her.
She has a studio out in the Hamptons. We went there in Bridgehampton.
Oh, yeah, you did. Last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
She has a studio in like a big barn. It's cool.
Is it messy? I'd think she would be quite ordered.
Yeah, it's not that messy. There's lots of the furniture that she makes in it and chairs. Stuff too, and the paintings. It's cool.
Yeah. She's in her 60s now, isn't she?
I don't know. Maybe older.
And what was it about Mary Harmon's work you liked?
Oh, well, I'd never seen anything like that. And it was, just like the colors and the texture even.
Yeah, she's a colorist, isn't she?
Yeah.
Would you say you was a colorist?
Me?
Yeah. Why not?
But also, actually, there's a parallel with you and Mary Harmon, because she makes really amazing furniture, like these kind of chairs that go outside. And then you love making furniture too now.
Yeah. The last show at Canada was like furniture based on like tropical shapes.
Oh, the neon pink ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, neon pink furniture based on like tropical plant shapes and flower shapes.
I love those. Could you can't actually sit on them though. You can't use them as furniture. They were quite rickety.
Well, there's one that we made and cast actually in resin that's stronger and
really
you can sit on it.
I love those. I remember seeing them. They were fantastic.
And you love furniture, don't you? Like kind of modernist furniture and design.
Like Italian.
And,
design. Tori Sostis.
Yeah, you love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the Memphis group?
Yeah, I love them.
Okay, we like the Memphis group. We don't like Chicago Images. When did you get out of Chicago?
2000.
Right.
And I came here for SVA.
What's SVA?
School of Visual Arts.
Where's that?
It's on like West 21st Street.
And was that like you had to go and interview to get into there, or was that a...
Yeah, you have to apply and everything.
Right. Cool. Rob's telling me.
So I applied for graduate school. So I applied like all over. I applied to like California, like Yale, Columbia, SVA, and Fullerton.
So you could have ended up anywhere else, but that was the one that...
Yeah. So I got into Fullerton first. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go live in an orange grove in California. It'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I got into SVA, and I was like, fuck that. Going to New York.
And when you got to New York, do you think the city had a big influence on you in the way you were making your work? Because when I look at your paintings, I often think of New York. Like, there's a kind of, like, bustling energy to your work somehow, mm-hmm. which is... very reflective of the energy of New York somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Plus, I never talked before I came here.
What do you mean?
So I finally talked.
About art or just in general?
No, just in general. Like, I never talked. Like,
you're
I was
painfully
like, really
shy.
Quiet, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you spent a lot of time making art in your bedroom?
I guess.
That's so interesting. I never knew that. So you were like super shy growing up?
Yeah.
Interesting. So do you think you loved all of the kind of bright colours and all of that stuff because it was a way of communicating?
Expressing yourself.
I guess.
How cool. Wow.
Did you watch cartoons? Like, are you a cartoon fan or is it just the...
Yeah, not really.
Because we met Joyce Pensato and she talked about how she never watches cartoons, but they're a humongous influence in her work. And all she paints is cartoon characters again and again, explore, like mining that. But she doesn't actually watch the cartoons themselves.
Yeah, I don't really watch that. Khalifa was watching the Pink
Khalifa's
Panther.
Khalifa's your son, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I got the idea because he was watching the Pink Panther and I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one. Does he still watch or has he grown out of the Pink? He still does. Yeah. Wow, so you got that influence from what your son was watching.
Yeah, and kind of like retro cartoons like Garfield.
Yeah, Snoopy.
Yeah, I don't really watch any of that stuff. But
you don't?
Yeah, I paint it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And to me, somehow, I think the way that you use shapes in your work, so when you've painted like The Simpsons or you've painted Pink Panther, it's not so much about them, it's more about the shape and the form.
It's more just about shapes and colors and fitting it in and like pop culture and just what everyone else watches.
Right. So you're kind of reflecting back the society that's around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite Andy Warhol-esque. What you're doing.
And you love Andy Warhol, don't you?
Yeah.
That's good. We like Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Yeah. who else is a big influence like him? Who would you look to at their work and think, oh, that guy was fucking cool?
Who's a huge influence?
Yeah.
Like, what painters do I love? Alex Katz, Chris Ofili, Laura Owens.
Yeah, wow. So they're all bright, they're all colours and they're all very bold and very strong, aren't they? The creations, the colours and stuff from them.
Yeah, colour and paint.
Colour and paint.
And you love Stanley Whitney, don't you?
Yeah, Stanley Whitney. Who else? Oh, Josh Smith.
Josh Smith,
the new show
like.
That's up over there at Zwerner is amazing.
With the Grim Reapers.
Yeah, and the Devils.
The Devils.
The devil paintings are amazing.
Wow. And actually, that's really interesting because you sent me pictures the other day from that show and it reminded me there's something about you as a human being. You are so like, you have this kind of voracious appetite for looking at culture and art. And I remember the first time we did a show with you in London, you flew over and you said to me like, how many hours do we have to install? Because I've got to go and see all these shows. And we did the installation and you went and saw something like 25 or 27 exhibitions and museums within about 3 days. She went everywhere and you take photos everywhere you go and you have this complete like love and passion for culture.
So you're an art fan basically. Yeah. You absolutely love it. You make it, but you live it and love
it.
And how important is it taking photographs for you? Because you seem to document.
Well, I gotta take pictures because I have a bad memory, so it's kind of like notes.
Yeah,
just remember.
Do you know when you sit down to or stand up to a painting, because they work on the wall, don't they, or do you ever do them on the floor?
Well, I spray them first upright and then I work with them on the floor.
Wow.
I paint them on the floor.
Do you know when you start it what character and what motifs are going to appear?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, so I like plan it out first.
Do you have preparatory sketches for all of your drawings?
No.
All your paintings?
No.
No.
But I'll think about like what I'm going to do first or do some research.
Right. And then it feels like when you find a motif, so say like it's a watermelon or bananas or toilet roll or a shark fin or Dorito, it feels like once you've found that motif, you will mine and mine and mine that, and that will appear throughout your work.
Right.
And is there any... like, I don't want to call them, they're not logos, but I see them as kind of logos because you have Nike and stuff. Do you ever get to a point where you're like, okay, I've exhausted that. I don't want to work with that one anymore. I don't want to do that. Or do you feel like they pop up throughout?
Yeah, they kind of come and go, but mostly they go and then new ones come.
What's your new one?
New ones would be like scotch tape. Mm-hmm. Cigarettes have always been there.
Yeah.
I always like that still.
Did you ever smoke yourself?
Yeah.
Right. Do you miss it?
No, I still do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Right.
Scotch tape is new. Well, the Garfields and Pink Panther are fairly new still.
Oh, are they? Okay.
The old things would be like plants, fruits, banana, watermelon, stuff like that.
And you won't... do you feel like you've done that now? Or do you feel like they might...
I feel like it's kind of... Yeah, I already did that.
And you had a whole period of painting like hammerhead sharks and sharks.
Yeah, there's like sharks and turtles.
Sea turtles.
Yeah, and stuff like that, like tropical things.
And actually, I think in the last few years, the work's really evolved. And that's the great thing about you is that it never stays still. Because if you look from like when you were making your model series of paintings and then to, you know, the initial grid paintings, if you actually go back and look at like 2000 and... I don't know, 10, and then you look at 2017, the work's completely different. I mean, it really has evolved. Yeah. And you've become much more... The looser. Idea of tie-dye, the way you make those tie-dye T-shirts and fabrics, that's actually related into the paintings, isn't it? Yeah. Like that kind of texture and colour and everything.
Plus now with the Pink Panther and the Garfield stuff, it's like figurative again. It's just not pattern paintings. It's like figurative mixed with
pattern.
So
like back to the models, back to making the model paintings, but just with the cartoon characters, figurative. Yeah.
So it's like figurative working. Yeah.
And it also feels looser now. It feels like you celebrate the drips and you quite like the watercolour element of it all washing into each other. Before, I felt like the paintings were tighter and now you quite like... How do you
now
get
I just want to like mess it up more. Like I can't stand it. I just want it to like be puddles like do its own thing.
And is that how does that get created? On the floor or is that upright?
Yeah, on the floor.
And also, your scale has got much bigger. So last year, you made that giant painting for Art Basel. How big was that painting? It was huge,
wasn't
it?
That was like 12 by probably like 75, maybe, feet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was huge.
Is that in 100. Your studio you make that?
Yeah, I made that in my studio. It took up the entire studio from the front garage door to the bathroom in the back.
And wasn't it made in like three parts? Or something.
I think it's four or five parts.
And then you attach them all together, don't you, when you install it? Yeah.
But it was unstretched, was it?
No, it was stretched.
Not when it left here, though, or it was stretched when it left
here. So we unrolled everything and unstretched everything and sent it over there and then restretched it there.
And there's a big relationship. So part of your work that when I first started working with you, you were doing quite a lot was these murals, like wall paintings. And you did an incredible one for Venus over Manhattan in their Los Angeles space in downtown LA. And it was like all over the kind of building outside. Mm-hmm. And I now see this very big relationship to that particular project and how that then influenced you to go back to the studio and make larger paintings. Mm-hmm. So how important was that for you, that show?
Well, that was just like a huge outdoor mural. Yeah, that's probably the biggest one I ever made. It's probably like 30 feet by like 150. And so that was really fun to make. And yeah, I mean, it's just more fun to make large paintings. There's more space, like your whole body's involved in it. You have to like walk on the painting to make it. It's like fun.
Where was this one? Basel, Miami, did you say?
No, it was Los Angeles.
What was the one in Miami you did? You did a big one there, didn't you?
Well, Basel was in Switzerland, the huge painting.
But what was where's the Rubel collection in that?
That's in Miami. You did a swimming pool.
No, there was one with a court telephone box or something, and you painted the telephone box.
Oh, that's in LA.
That's in LA.
That's in Los
Angeles. Phone box outside of Venus. Yeah.
Oh, that was the one.
That was the Venus Manhattan one. Yeah. Yeah. And the one in LA also had like a shark tank where they had their roller shutters that come down over the window and it had sharks. So at nighttime they'd roll down the window and you'd suddenly see the sharks. It was really cool.
And you did a swimming pool.
Oh yeah, I did the swimming pool at the Nautilus Hotel.
Yeah, the Nautilus Hotel.
Yeah,
and you painted sharks inside the actual pool underneath the water.
Sharks and like fruit and stuff.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That's cool.
And then we went back the following year and you did that car.
Yeah. Painted the car that was through Venus also as a Jaguar, so I painted a Jaguar on a Jaguar.
Good one. We're going to post pictures of that.
How often do you work?
How often?
Yeah.
I mean, I try to go there like every day of the week. I usually don't go there on the weekend.
Do you set yourself like, I've got to get there at a certain time? Are you regimented with your studio time?
Yeah. Or
you are?
Yeah.
So it's like office for you, like office hours?
Yeah.
And you were saying, we had coffee earlier, and you were saying that for you, you kind of have to create. And if you're not making, it would really frustrate you. So it's almost like part of the way you exist is by creating and making art. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Yeah. What are you working on at the moment?
I'm just like making paintings of like portraits of like the Pink Panther in ancient Egypt.
In ancient Egypt?
Inspired by ancient Egypt.
So like dressed up as Tutankhamun, Pink Panther.
Yeah, and just like the way they stand and like the stance and then like alligators and like...
That thing with a straight hand.
On the Nile. Yeah, and stuff like that.
Wow. And is that all going to be part of one series for a show upcoming, or is this just something you're exploring?
It's just something I'm exploring right now, because I just saw that Basquiat Xerox show the other day uptown.
Oh no, where's that?
Namad.
Okay.
And it was called Xerox, and it was like, he had this painting of crocodiles. He Xeroxed like all these paintings he made of crocodiles, and there's like crocodiles all over the painting. It was kind of awesome.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going to steal that crocodile image.
And have you got crocodiles now then?
Yeah.
So this is the new motif, is the crocodile.
Yeah. Nice one. I didn't even know that. I love that.
Yeah.
Wicked. So I remember One of your first big collectors in London was Kenny Schachter. And I remember he bought a painting by you of like a McDonald's logo. And what year was that made?
That was probably like 2001.
Exactly. It was like really early on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And what kind of work were you making back then? Like why did you choose the McDonald's golden arches?
Yeah, because I was always doing like logos. So I was using like Adidas and Fila and Nike and all those shapes and stuff. So then McDonald's kind of fit into it too, like the golden arches. I was like, that's a good image to use.
And then that got the attention of Karl Lagerfeld eventually when you were doing your supermodel paintings. And he loved the idea that you were using logos in your work as well. And then he asked you to do a show for Chanel, didn't he, in central New York?
Yeah, it was kind of like a one-night affair. So I made this print of like a quote from Coco Chanel. So there was a print, and then we kind of did like an installation in the shop.
And what were you painting? Didn't you paint like watches and his
cap? Oh, yeah, the J12.
Oh, swatches. You had a whole swatch series, didn't you, as well?
Yeah. The Chanel thing was the J12 watch, though, so that was fun to make. And then, yes, I've also done like a whole swatch.
Did they give you a watch?
No.
No? No.
And didn't you paint his cat as well?
So you haven't got your dinnerware, you haven't got your watch from Chanel.
I wanted the white J12 watch.
Oh my God. What perks have you had from art? Because you give a lot as well, I've got to say. You're so charitable. There's lots of benefits and you have work that you give a lot away to charity. It's an amazing thing. Your work appears a lot and it's so good to do that.
Thanks. There's one coming up at CAM in St. Louis. I just posted it on my Instagram.
And we've been working on a new lithograph that's going to come out in September for Save the Children.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? What's the image again?
Sure. Yeah, it's a Pink Panther head with Nike.
It's good.
Do you title your works?
Do what?
Title your works.
Yeah, some of them.
What would that one be called?
Nike on the brain.
Oh no, but that's not that's not the one we've done though. That was the art. That was the art on me one, the Nike one. The one we did is watermelon, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's like a panther with like a watermelon.
Yeah, exactly.
What would that
I don't
one
know
be
if
called?
That one has a title.
I don't think we've titled it yet. Yeah.
How do you feel about your works when you've made them of like selling them and leaving the studio? Do you feel quite protective of them? Or are you quite happy to set them off into the world?
I save the best ones for myself.
Do you?
Just kidding.
You do, though.
She says, just kidding, looking at your gallerist. No, like, I don't have any good ones left.
No, but I know about this, though, because when we first met, I said to you, don't sell everything and keep stuff and put it in your storage, because then one day you'll have more art.
Yeah, so I try to keep a lot of stuff, too.
That's important to you now.
Yeah.
How can you spot the good ones? For you, what is a successful painting?
Well, it's weird. Sometimes I'll undo the ones that I think suck.
Undo
and then
way?
Like I'll take them off the stretcher bar and roll them up and like save them,
right,
or like put them away or whatever. But then when I go back and like look at it, those ones are the good ones. So luckily I saved like all the grid paintings, like a lot of them,
because you didn't think they worked, and you've gone back and you've seen what you've got to, and they did. Wow.
I also think sometimes when you're in the moment and you make something, you can be like a really harsh critic, not just you, but I think anyone creatively. And then when you have a few years to go back and look at it, you can actually see what you made.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I remember saying to you as well that I thought it was going to be really nice for Khalifa when he grew up, because he's so much part of the studio life in a way. Like, often in your photographs of the studio, you see him everywhere. He even like walks over the painting sometimes. You know, he's hilarious. And I thought for him, when he's an adult, his memories of childhood are going to be so associated with your paintings in a way.
Yeah.
And he loves it. And he's just, I think for him then to have paintings that he can own himself would be such an amazing thing.
Yeah. I just made one, a pink panther in ancient Egypt, and then I wrote his name and my name in hieroglyphics.
Oh, wow.
So we'll save that one.
Yeah. And is it big?
Yeah, it's a huge one.
Wow. Do you live with your own work?
Yeah, there's some paintings in there. But I also trade with lots of people, so I have lots of art.
Who have you traded with? Because you're a collector as well, right?
Yeah.
So who
I got like Chris Martin, Jonas Wood, Shio Kusaka, Ponsili.
I don't know who that is. Ponsili.
Ponsili Creacion. They're an amazing performance duo.
Oh, right.
And they're incredible. Where are they from?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah. They're proper incredible. Wow. And they build like these costumes and crazy outfits, and they make works that you can buy, like, you know, sculptural kind of works. Amazing.
And you live with these works that you traded?
Yeah. Jose Luis Vargas.
Yes.
Who else?
What did you trade with Shio Kusaka? I'm a massive fan of her ceramics.
Oh, well, I traded like one painting for a Jonas Wood and two Shio Kusaka vases.
Wow. What are the vases like?
They're neat. One's like blue and one's like white with blue designs.
Love. And what was the Jonas Wood one?
Tennis.
A tennis court?
Yeah.
Oh, fab.
The thing I love most about your apartment is where you've actually made paintings on your walls or on like cupboard doors and stuff.
Have you? The murals in your own place?
Yeah, so there's murals all over the apartment, and then there's art over the murals.
And
so
is it a rental?
Yeah. Rent stabilized.
Oh, rent stabilized. You can do what you want. That's great.
And actually, talking about that, a big part of your work has been relating to Morocco and Berber rugs. And in your apartment, you actually have a blue and brown kind of painted wall. And can you talk about the influence of Morocco and why that was so important?
Oh, and you have rug sales, don't you? Because you bring rugs back.
So Morocco. So the rugs are the rugs are like amazing works of art, and they usually like have symbols in them. So they're like totally related to my paintings, because my paintings are just kind of like objects or symbols in the rectangle also. And the paintings are, the rugs are just kind of like symbols within a rectangle also. Mm. So it's like a huge influence.
Mm-hmm. And do you have rugs in your place that you live with?
Yeah.
And so you have a sale every year of rugs?
Yeah, so I import rugs from Morocco, and then we do like pop-up sales and stuff.
And it's called the Magic?
Magic Flying Carpets of the Berber Kingdom of Morocco.
So genius.
And it's got a simple title.
But there's so much more to talk about though, because there was a film that you watched when you were growing up about Morocco, no?
Yeah, The Sheltering Sky. Exactly. It's also a book, like Paul Bowles.
So The Sheltering Sky was like a really big influence on you.
Yeah, huge.
And then watching that made you want to go to Morocco.
Yeah.
And then when you eventually got there, what was it like?
Well, I went first when I was 15. Well, when I was exchange student in Portugal, my host sister, we took a trip to Morocco. So we crossed like the Strait of Gibraltar and stuff and went to Morocco and camped.
What?
Yeah, so I went there when I was like 15, and it was
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my God, this place is like amazing. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, what is this? It's like awesome. So I didn't go back for like 30 years. So I went back because my friend was in the Peace Corps there working with weavers in Hadida in like Valley of the Roses. So I went to go visit her. And then like that's where I met like all the weavers there and like saw how they weave and just like saw the rugs. And because I never really knew about the rugs really. And then, like, saw everything. So that's when I started, like, collecting them and, like, hoarding them, basically. And I was like, I got to get these to New York.
Wow. That's amazing. At 15, take yourself off to Morocco as two, like, young girls, basically, young women. Did you feel, like, worried at any point?
Not really. Well, I was 15. She was 25.
Okay, right.
So it was okay.
You've also just had a kind of very irrepressible kind of love of travel, don't you? You love seeing as much as you can and traveling. So I guess it makes sense. I think you've always been like that.
Yeah.
And then that led to you actually painting a whole series of paintings. Is it after the supermodel paintings where you started to paint Berber rugs?
Yes.
And you actually did that incredible exhibition at Canada Gallery, perhaps your first with them, where you covered the whole gallery in Berber rugs and then had the paintings of Berber rugs.
Yeah.
I love those works.
So I painted like all the walls kind of like adobe color, like the houses in Morocco, just like mud color, and then like how they throw white paint on the walls like that. So like the whole gallery was painted like that, and then the paintings of rugs were like hanging on the walls. And then we actually brought the rugs in during the end of the show and had them all over the floor too.
So cool.
Did you sell them rugs as part of your art or part of like the rug flying cup rug collection of Berber World, Morocco. What's it called again?
Magic Flying Carpets.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, I think we just sold them separately, like as rugs.
When did you realize you were doing well, you were a success? What did that feel like, and when was that?
That was like, well, I had a show at The Hole, which was like these collage, like cutout paintings made with fabric that I was like doing designs with, also that kind of look like the rugs. Mm-hmm. So I got a New York Times review from that. And then like 2 months later, I had my show at Canada of the pattern paintings. Mm-hmm. And I got a New York Times review of that.
Was it Roberta or Jerry?
Yeah, Roberta wrote both of them. Did so she? I got two reviews within like 2 months. So that...
But did you kind feel like that? Did you feel the buzz from the review? Wow.
Yeah.
You can, and do you think you can, is that still the case now? Do you think, again, that a review of Roberta's review or Jerry's review, they are as influential now to catapult an artist's career?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But and you literally felt that from them reviews, yeah, a change?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like lucky.
Did you ever feel like you really sort of were fighting to get noticed? Or do you think you just... Because for me, I've never thought you were that... I don't really think you care that much what people think in a way. I feel like you just do what you do because you have to and you have no choice, but you have to just do it. Whereas some people, you feel like they're more ambitious
tactical
and they're kind of...
Tactical
or whatever. And I never felt that with you. I always just feel like you're this pure kind of energy and it's just...
It is energy,
it's just there. But I guess it is important still to have the validation and the acceptance, isn't it, from the world that you love so much?
Yeah. Well, if you also want to survive... And like pay rent, like you have, like the collectors need to be told.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like collectors?
Sure. I mean, yes, I love them.
Wow. So did you feel like pat on the back? Thank fuck. It's all happening now.
Yeah, more just like, thank God. Like, I can't even like pay my rent. Like, what am I going to do? Like, thank God now the paintings are going to sell.
Because it's, your work is being seen as like further corners of the world. More and more people are seeing it. More and more people are falling in love with your images.
And how was it with your new show in Japan?
Oh yeah, that went really well. That was a hit and everything. So that was good.
And did you enjoy going there for the first
time? Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, I guess Japanese culture would come into your work a lot.
What did you love most about it?
Just like the minimalism of everything, or like, I mean, just how people bow to everyone, like take your shoes off everywhere, just how different everything was.
Did you have a tea ceremony or anything?
No, but I mean, dinner at the Rokans were like amazing, like these 10 courses of like the weirdest food you've ever seen, like brought to you. It's like amazing.
Right.
And then just like sleeping on the floor on tatami mats and stuff. It's like really fun.
Has any of the Japanese elements come into your art from that trip?
Maybe not yet. But the fact that they're kind of like, it's already kind of Japanese, and I kind of made that show thinking about Japan because they're so into like characters and cartoons. So that whole show was like Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Darth Vader, like heavy on like those figures, because I thought the Japanese culture would like that.
Would lap it up. What was the one that they were most drawn to? What was a popular?
They love the Darth Vader ones.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, they like the Mickey Mouse ones too.
Do you feel pressured into making, when something like that happens, do you feel pressured into further exploring them characters because that's what people were into, or do you like to just stick to your own?
I mean, both.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And can you talk a bit about your relationships with other artists? Because I know you're really close with people like Brian Bellot. Mm-hmm. And I think your friendship's been quite important. Because when I first met you, I remember you two were like super close and hanging out a lot. And we just saw him in the Whitney Biennial. And I was so proud of him to see that fridge work. I loved it.
Yeah.
The frozen work.
Because I remember going to his studio when I first met you. And he had that idea. And he was like, I don't know how I'm going to make this happen because I'm going to have it turned on all the time. Otherwise, the paintings will melt.
So he's Brian Bellot's currently in the Whitney Biennial. And in there also, he's got a puff. He has a series called Puff Paintings. And there's a working fan in one of them. So it has the element of you're seeing something visually, but you're feeling something as well. You're having an experience looking at the paintings.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Amazing. But he's been a friend
of yours. Oh, yeah, so he's like my neighbor. Like, I've known him forever. He was like with Canada before. And he's in my old studio right now. Like, we're in the neighborhood together, so we're always around. We try to, like, visit each other a lot.
Are you a good critique of each other?
Well, he is awesome, so there's nothing to critique, really. I mean, his work rules.
It does. It really does. Did you go to the Whitney Biennial?
Yeah.
What stood out for you, apart from Brian's?
Nicole Eisenman.
Oh, yeah, the outside ones. Yeah. So she's got
that was really good.
On one of the roofs, they've got on one of the floors, she's got these sculptures set up, and one of them, like, farts smoke. So this big smoke comes out, and it's moving, and they're all, like, moving in one direction.
I liked how they're wearing socks, too.
I know, which, again, is linked to you and Brian, because both of you have
tube used socks.
Imagery of socks in your work. Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
And also, you and Brian often... Brian makes a lot of artist books, and you yourself love making artist books. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why you love making books so much?
I guess it's like a good, something to look back on to remember what you've done or something.
Because when you did your model series, you made that incredible book that on the front cover has you with one of the models or something.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of photograph
series? So they're
kind
of like collage-y, like my pictures in there too. Yeah, like my art and then like pictures from like what's going on at that time also. So they're fun to make.
And your Instagram's become a really big part of your work as well.
K Bernhardt 2014.
Yeah, it's K Bernhardt 2014. And you even published some of your Instagram pictures in your last book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, fans or, like, people posing in front of my paintings or, like, stuff like that. There was, like, several pages of, like, people in front of my work and stuff.
Oh, wow. I love... See, you're talking about a diary. I always find my Instagram now, I love scrolling back through because it feels like the 21st century diary because you can look back and go, oh, I was there. Oh, I was with that person. Oh, I saw that. That's what I did. Instead of having a journal, it's like Instagram is absolutely resourced because now, like 2014, you started that, obviously, hence the title, the name, the handle. And you can go back to 2014 and you're like very proactive on it. So you can see so much of your
life.
And
actually, Brian Bolat recommended that I join Instagram.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was walking by my house one day. I always see him out my window. So I'm like, hey, Brian. He was like, you need to join Instagram, Catherine. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I think you'll like it.
Was you reluctant at first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was really.
Yeah. I remember Instagram started and I was like, well, you just post a picture. I don't really get it. What's the point? I like having 180 characters on Twitter. That serves me. And now it's like Twitter's like, I can't be bothered to write anything. I just want to put like an emoji in a photo. And it's
the only social media I've actually really loved
is Instagram.
In the whole time. I used to do Facebook years ago and then I closed it because I felt people were so judgy on Facebook. And I'd post something and everyone would start writing horrible comments and it was just a bit weird. Mm. It was when I was in my band.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Thanks, Russ. It was rough. Every morning I woke up and Russ would be like, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this.
Slag. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but then when I did Instagram, I just feel like it's really fun and it's really celebratory. And you've even just made a print with us of Instagram.
Yeah, so it's a huge print. It's not out yet, but it's called How's Your Instagram? And it's a picture of the logo and it says, How's Your Instagram? And it's a quote from Phil from Canada Gallery. He was at my show in Brussels and he went up to some collector and he was like, hey, how's your Instagram? And I was like, that is a good one.
And we've got this amazing, it's giant print of the logo of Instagram. It's fantastic. It's very, very cool. And I thought it was such a good one to do because KB's Instagram really is like part of the work somehow. I think it's become, you know, documenting and photography is actually a really big part of your work. And like you said, those collage works you made at the whole gallery, you know, where you had imagery in them, I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. Can I also ask you one thing? I loved this story. I think when I first ever met you years ago, when we did the Armory trip, you'd just been to Louise Bourgeois' studio and you told me this hilarious story about meeting Louise. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. So you have to make an appointment and stuff to go over there. So I went over there and you're supposed to bring a work of art so that she can critique it for you. So I brought a portrait of my mother that had like stenciled like penises in the background. I think that's the one I brought. Is that the one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I brought it over there and she was like, you hate your mother. She was like, I know you hate your mother. And I'm like, no, actually, I don't hate my mother. But she was like insistent that I hated my mother. And she like really liked the painting and it was like really funny.
And it was when you were making those really like drippy, you know, paintings of these portraits, but they were really drippy and she was almost melting in the picture.
And surrounded by penises. Did your mother see this painting?
I don't think she's seen
it. She's not put it up in the house anywhere, no.
Oh my God.
What was Louise Bourgeois like? Was she quite elderly when you met her?
She was kind of quiet and like sitting there. And she had madeleines for us to eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That house is a house that's in Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I think walked it was past, on 17th Street, maybe.
Yeah.
Or 20th, somewhere over there.
You used to be able to make appointments, but I don't think you can even get in with an appointment now. I think it's being done up, isn't it? But yeah, she's got a spider in the backyard. Anymore. She's got one of her big spider sculptures in the backyard.
I've never been there.
Yeah, no, I've not. I'd been there.
I'd love to go. I know Tracy used to go a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, so we ask everyone who comes on to Talk Up a couple of really hard questions. Have you listened to Talk Up?
No. Because I don't know how to download it.
What? We could just do it. We would. Someone who's on their phone the whole time, you don't know how to download a podcast. Well, we're going to do that right now. And we're going to edit in. I'm going to ask you again now. Have you listened to Talk Heart?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we asked two really serious questions. The first one is,
what is, if you could do an art heist, what is the artwork you would take home from a museum or somewhere if we could help you steal an artwork?
A touchstone artwork for you. It's really important that you
take
can have
any artwork home
in the world.
And it can be any size. We could bring lorries for you, cranes, anything you want.
Oh my God.
You don't have to like hand put it in your pocket.
How about King Tut?
What, from Egypt?
Yeah.
Wow.
So did you see one in Egypt when you were
like
there?
Like him in his coffins.
The sarcophagus thing. And you actually want him in it as well, yeah. Do you? Okay, cool. Yeah, we could do that for you.
That is the best answer we've ever had.
I think he was within probably like 24 coffins, so maybe like all of them.
Wow.
Right. Wow.
Have
wow.
Have you actually seen that? Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there, yeah. The museum in Cairo is like all the contents from his grave. It's like amazing.
Wow.
Why was he the most famous out of all the pharaohs, do you think? Is it because he was one of the first to be discovered?
He was the fairest of all the pharaohs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think?
I don't know exactly. But Khalifa just bought the book, Who is King Tut? So I'll know the answer.
Oh, yeah, soon. Let us know, yeah. But because the bust, the gold bust, was like the most iconic image of Egypt, isn't it, really? Historical Egypt. And wasn't that the British Museum at one point? Wasn't that a touring show that?
I think so, yeah.
Where is that? Is that in the museum now back in Egypt?
Maybe, I don't know.
Wow, really good answer. But the second question we ask everyone is, it was really good, what is your favourite colour?
Favourite colour? Turquoise.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah.
He knew immediately.
Turquoise, because it's also my mother's favourite colour, and her kitchen is turquoise. And it's also like the colour of like the ocean in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And does it appear in your work a lot?
Sometimes, yeah.
And have you ever painted a turquoise penis?
No.
No. Maybe you should do that for your mother in her kitchen.
And talking about Puerto Rico, so you've recently bought a studio in Puerto Rico and you're going to be renovating that.
Yeah.
And why is Puerto Rico so important to you?
I've been going there like 20 years. I used to show down there. Like, I love it. It's like so beautiful. I love the music. Like, I love the food. I love the people there. I just like going swimming there, like being in the ocean and stuff like that.
And you showed us some videos earlier of you with the waves crashing against you. So nature is like so important to you, isn't it? I think you like dramatic nature somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you paint the sea a lot with the sea turtles and the sharks.
Yeah.
All right, get political. climate change and everything. How do you feel about all this that's happening, that we're kind of ignoring it, or people aren't denying that it's actually happening? And
I mean, people also think the world's flat.
This is a modern phenomenon, yes. It dates back hundreds of years, and now suddenly it's come back, yeah.
Really? What, people think the world is flat?
Yeah. Flat earthers. Yeah. It's a real deal. It's a real thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a consideration. We should consider that maybe everyone is wrong and it isn't global and the world is actually flat.
I think your TV show Years and Years mentioned it.
They did, yeah.
And I thought that was
Yeah, because my partner in it is speculating that maybe the world is flat, and it's like, what are you doing? Why are we so like devoid of any new information that we have to just go
it's
back
like,
to?
It's like, why would Earth be flat but all the other planets and the sun and everything else is round?
But also, we've got pictures of the Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like, how would the water stay on a ball?
Oh my God.
They want to know why the water doesn't fall off.
Yeah, totally.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So another really big influence in your life, which I don't know if everyone's actually aware of, because I think unless you hang out with you wouldn't know, is music.
Yeah.
And you listen to music when you make your work.
Yeah.
And can you talk about some of the bands and artists that you love?
Sure. Right now, like, I listen to, like, Juice WRLD, or I listen to, like, music from Puerto Rico. So I listen to, like, Nicky Jams and like Enrique Iglesias, and then, I mean, I don't know other names, but like the mixes of that, but like I'm like obsessed with Juice WRLD right now. I just went to the concert.
Yeah, I was going to say you went to the concert.
You've just asked us to do a Juice WRLD karaoke with you, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're trying to set this up.
Should we do it now?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Can you play
it?
What song should we sing?
What do you mean, shall we sing it? Like we're going to know it. I've never heard of them before. You can sing it and we'll just dance, but no one's going to see us dance.
Juice WRLD.
Me and Rob can
Who was the other artist that when we were in Miami a few years ago, we were listening to in the car all the time?
Fetty Wap.
What's his numbers that he loves?
1738.
We kept doing Instagram videos of us driving in the car with Fetty Wap playing in the hope that he would notice us and say hi because we loved him. Did he ever get in touch? No.
Do you always paint to music?
Yeah.
You've always got music on whenever you're working.
Yeah.
And also, you've actually even painted some music stars. So who have you done?
I've painted Little Skies.
You love Little Skies, don't you?
Yeah. I haven't really painted that many.
Drake, he asked you.
Oh, yeah, I did something with Drake.
What was that for?
Did he ask you? He commissioned you to
It was W Magazine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for W Magazine.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, and you did a portrait of him.
Did he take that work? Did he buy that work? Or?
No, he did not.
But he did send you a photograph of him in Toronto that he asked you to then paint onto, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I requested that he go stand outside of a bodega.
And So you actually directed that photograph. I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
so he did that and sent it to me. And then I kind of like superimposed like my elements from my paintings on that photograph.
It's so good. So it makes it look like it's a mural on the shop.
Oh, wow.
And he's standing outside. It's a really great portrait, actually.
Come on, let's play this music.
Okay, let's play Who Shot Cupid? Juice WRLD.
Let's do it.
Thing is, Russell's got a really good voice.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, no, this is like an advert.
Oh, no, this is a commercial. I was thinking, this is a commercial nice. Break. This is just the one you can skip in 5 seconds. This is for Citibank, who we're currently sponsored by.
We're not. We're going to cut that out.
We want them.
Okay, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, this is actually karaoke.
Oh, I see. We can actually see the words.
Yeah. She know me well. She know me well. Told me she loved me still. Bitch, go to hell. All the drugs I did, it was worth it. Super worth it. Now worthless. Now your heart's broken. You need a surgeon. One thing's for sure. One thing's for certain. Yeah.
If there's a rap section, I'll just come in on that.
Not again, Gucci cardigan. I'm the flyest gent. Found out what the problem is, breaking promises.
It was the both of us. Oh yeah, Gucci cardigan.
Okay, that's enough of that. That was hellish. So, but everybody, definitely don't listen to that and download the music.
Anyone?
We tried.
Anyone listening? Record deal request can be sent to Carfree Bengali.
It's a trio,
I will do the negotiations for the multi-million dollar deals.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was amazing. I love the Gucci cardigan lyric.
Anyway, that was what a phenomenal interview. Thank you so much for joining us.
One second, talking about Gucci cardigans, you also love fashion.
Yeah.
What kind of fashion labels do you like and why do you love them?
I mean, I just love them because they're in all the rap music songs. So, and they're amazing. I mean, Gucci, like, come on, it's like amazing. Like, I'm really into Balenciaga right now.
Balenciaga's in all the rap songs. They always think about Balenciaga.
Yeah, Little Skies was always talking about Balenciaga. That's kind of how I got into Balenciaga.
You buy it as well.
She occasionally buys it, but the thing I love most is that you actually make your own t-shirts and you started to make your own
like
clothes.
Bootleg
versions.
That's
right, I make fake bootleg ones too.
They're so genius. So they have like tie-dye t-shirts with Balenciaga written on them. It's totally legendary.
I hope Balenciaga's given you some clothes at some point. You have had some perks from all these collaborations.
No.
You know
so you haven't had your dinner where
I feel not... like artists just get like the worst kind of... deal basically. They get asked to, can you collaborate with this fashion brand? And they give them nothing. It's just like really bad. They're all take. So if you're in the fashion industry and you're listening,
give.
Email talkartpodcast@gmail.com and we will forward all the stuff to KB.
Yeah, thank you.
Totally. Anyway, thank you so much.
We got you a necklace. We bought you a Prada necklace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which you wore recently in a fashion mag.
Yeah, I wear it. It's like amazing. It's kind of like the 60s style. It's made out of resin. It says Prada.
And it's Groove is in the Heart.
Yeah.
It made us think of D-Light.
Yeah.
And you did an interview recently in some magazine, and I saw you'd got photographed in it.
Yeah.
Loving that. And the hat, that crazy Prada hat.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah. Well, Catherine Bernhardt, it has been such a joy to hang out with you. And for everybody who doesn't know Catherine's work yet, visit our Instagram, because we're going to post lots of different projects and paintings that she's made since the beginning. We'll hopefully find her E.T. that she painted at the
beginning.
And I'll ask Kenny Schachter to give us a picture of that McDonald's one.
Amazing. And your K Bernhardt 2014 is your Instagram handle.
Yes.
Yes. Great.
Good one.
All right.
Well, thank you so much,
Catherine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back very soon.
Love you.
Lots of love.
Ciao.
Bye. You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamant and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Recorded at Spiritland London by Anthony Shaw and edited by Gareth Isles. Subscribe to Talk Art on iTunes and Spotify. Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.